Hi, this is Bob Decker, volunteer reader with Sun Sounds of Arizona, with this week's Listener Beware. As winter approaches, some of us will be staying in more, while others may be traveling to visit friends, family, or just to escape the cooler weather. This week I'll be reading articles from Reader's Digest about tasks or concerns at home, and also some related to travel. In our first article, we'll look at the water we drink at home, and specifically what odors of different types that you might detect, what they might mean, and what to do about them. This is what it means if your water in your house smells funny, by Kaylee Alon, updated October 15, 2025. The funky scent from your faucet isn't just unpleasant, it's a clue to something happening in your pipes. Turning on the tap should bring you a fresh drink, not a mystery smell. A whiff of something sharp, sour, or just plain strange is enough to make anyone wonder what's really in their water. It's hard to shake the worry that something's wrong. But before you panic or start stocking up on bottled water, know that certain odors can actually be a guidepost rather than a source of concern. Smells can tell you a lot about what's going on in your home, says Scotty Pitts, a general contractor and the owner of Pitts Elite Contracting. He's dealt with more than a few weird water smells in his 25 years of construction and remodeling. Sometimes it's nothing serious, and other times it's a sign that something needs attention. What if your water smells like chlorine? A sharp chlorine smell, similar to bleach in your laundry, is often just a result of the municipal water treatment. Most cities disinfect their water systems with chlorine. It's usually not as harmful as people think, says Pitts. The smell may be more noticeable during seasonal system flushing or right after maintenance. Safety concerns. Chlorine-treated water is typically safe to drink, though letting it sit uncovered or running the tap for a minute can help the smell dissipate. One to call an expert. If the odor is unusually strong or persistent, contact your local water utility to confirm maintenance schedules or to request a quality test. If your water smells like rotten eggs, that rotten egg smell usually means sulfur gas, most often coming from your hot water heater. It's typical of the anode rod deteriorating inside the tank, Pitts explains. Anode rods attract rust-producing ions from water, protecting your hot water tank. As the element corrodes, it reacts with the water to produce hydrogen sulfide gas, which causes the odor. Safety concerns. The smell itself isn't dangerous, but it's unpleasant and a sign your water heater may be nearing the end of its lifespan, usually 7 to 13 years. When to call an expert? If you consistently smell sulfur, especially if your water heater is older, call a licensed plumber who specializes in hot water heater maintenance. They will inspect the tank, replace the anode rod, or recommend a full water heater replacement. If your water smells like sewage, a sewer-like odor is often mistaken for bad water, but could actually be coming from your drains. It's common in bathrooms or basement sinks that don't get much use, Pitt says. When the water in the P-trap is part of the plumbing system, with a U-shaped bend that helps block odors, dries up, it allows sewer gases to escape into your house. Safety concerns. While unpleasant, it usually is not a health hazard. Running water regularly keeps the trap filled and prevents the smell. When to call an expert? If running water doesn't solve it, call a plumber to inspect your traps or vents for leaks or blockages. If your water smells musty or earthy, an earthy, damp smell can point to mold, mildew, or mineral buildup, especially if you're on well water or have older plumbing. Iron and organic matter can collect in your pipes, and over time, it creates a musty scent, says Pitts. Safety concerns. The water is generally safe, but may taste off or stain fixtures. When to call an expert. If you live in an old home, a plumber experienced with wells and filtration systems can recommend the right water filter or iron removal system for your home. You just don't want a wrench turner, says Pitts, using the slang term for a general technician or handy persons. If your water smells fishy, A fishy odor often means trace minerals, like barium and cadmium, are present in your water supply. It's typically harmless, but can affect taste. Safety concerns. The water is safe for most uses, though some people prefer to filter it for peace of mind. When to call an expert. If the smell bothers you, have a plumber or water treatment specialist test your water and install a filtration system if needed. If your water smells metallic. A penny-like smell or taste points to corroded or aging pipes, common in older homes with lead or cast iron plumbing. As those pipes deteriorate, small amounts of metal can leach into the water, says Pitts. Safety concerns. Lead exposure, even in trace amounts, can be serious, especially if you have children in the home. Don't drink or cook with the water until it's tested. When to call an expert. Contact a licensed plumber immediately. They can assess your system and discuss options for repiping with safer materials, like copper or CPVC. If your water smells like gas, a faint gasoline or natural gas smell requires immediate attention. Anytime gas comes up, I get concerned about safety, Pitt says. If you think you smell gas in your water, stop using it right away. Safety concerns. Exposure can result in headaches, dizziness, and lightheadedness. Do not run taps, light flames, or use electrical appliances until the source is confirmed safe. When to call an expert? Contact your gas utility right away. They can test for leaks or contamination and ensure that your home is safe. How to keep your water fresh year-round? Even clean water can develop smells without regular upkeep. Pitts recommends having a trusted plumber inspect your system once a year and flush your water heater periodically. 9 times out of 10, when something's off with your water, your plumber's your best friend, he says. A whole house filtration or water softening system can prevent odors, protect pipes, and make your water taste fresher. If your home is older, don't ignore subtle changes. Your nose often knows before your plumbing does. As Pitts puts it, when you have someone who knows your home inside and out, the relationship is priceless. Because when your water starts to smell funny, you'll want to call someone who will pick up. If you're home for a bit, you might be going through your wardrobe and considering donations of unwanted clothing. Our next article discusses clothing donations and where they may go. Reader's Digest. Here's what really happens to your donated clothes. By Anna D'Souza. Updated on June 25, 2025. Think someone else is getting that cozy, like-new sweater you just donated? Think again. Here's what actually happens to donated clothes. You've cleaned out your closet and have a bag of clothes ready to donate. You're feeling pretty good about yourself, and why not? The average American throws away 81 pounds of clothing and other textiles annually, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, and at least you're recycling. But hold on a minute. What happens to donated clothes? Unfortunately, the journey is pretty bleak for clothes, especially for those that fall under the fast fashion umbrella. Let's take that fluffy, boat-neck, polyblend cream sweater that you featured heavily on Instagram. But now, weeks later, they're ready to part with. Where does your garment go? Ahead, Reader's Digest will take you through a few different scenarios. Read on for the skinny jeans and what happens to your donated clothes seen through the eyes of your barely used sweater. You donate your sweater to a local charity. After you drop off your sweater at the thrift store, do you imagine a local needy family saying prayers of thanks to you for the benevolent donor? Sure, that could happen. And it's still helpful to donate your duds. Only 15% of the clothing in the U.S. is recycled at all, and the vast majority is just thrown away, according to the Secondary Materials and Recycled Textiles Association. But unfortunately, most clothing donated to Goodwill, Salvation Army, and other charities doesn't end up on the backs of needy children in your community. They get sold to textile recyclers. Sure, that's better than a landfill, but if your sweater isn't picked up in a few weeks, it can end up as carpet padding, insulation, or rags, or even sold overseas. Many textile recyclers will take a portion of the clothing that they don't think they can sell in the U.S., package them up by gender, size, and season, and create huge bundles of clothes that they then sell by weight to be shipped to less developed countries, explains Jennifer Zuckley, founder of the Swindle Society, an online children's used clothing platform. These items are then sold cheaply at bend-down street markets, where customers bend down to select garments lying on the ground, and it's had a devastating impact on local indigenous markets. Countries like Rwanda, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and Burundi have sought to ban clothes and shoe imports to protect local businesses, but only Uganda ended up enacting a ban in 2023. You slide your sweater into a roadside donation bin. Pulling over for a donation bin to send said sweater on its way? Be careful. Many of those bins are for-profit textile recycling companies posing as charities, or relying on your assumption that they are legitimate charitable organizations by putting their actual company identification in very small print. Since only a fraction of the items donated to a brick-and-mortar charity get sold intact within the community, cutting out the middleman at Goodwill and other thrift stores may seem like a good thing. But this practice takes money away from legitimate charities. Some states are fighting back against these deceptive bins. In 2025, Connecticut put out a warning to consumers and started issuing tickets, with fines of $500, to owners of for-profit bins posing as charity drop-offs. You drop off that sweater at the store's take-back program. Retailers such as H&M, Gap, Patagonia, Levi's, Madewell, and others have in-store programs allowing customers to bring in worn garments. These are sorted to be donated or recycled, sometimes in exchange for a discount voucher. If you think these fast fashion retailers are making next season's clothes for last, that's not the case. Recycling old clothes into new ones weakens the materials, and in the case of plastic-heavy fabrics of fast fashion, it's tough to separate fibers into their native components. Nationally, less than 1% of clothing is recycled to make new clothes, but companies are trying to fill the gap. Levi's created its first 100% recycled cotton jeans back in 2016. However, the prototype did weave in virgin cotton. In 2023, the company began to sell jeans made from 97% natural materials, including recycled cotton and wood pulp. You toss your sweater into the garbage with the rest of the trash. Nearly 85% of us dispose of clothing in the same trash where we dump our kitchen scraps, amounting to a staggering 17 million tons of textiles per year. Plastics, which make up the majority of fast fashion clothing, can take hundreds of years to decompose, and the microplastics sloughed off the clothes end up in our waterways, soil, and even our bodies. As your short-lived boatneck sweater decomposes, it releases greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide and methane. And that's not even considering the resource consumption of the manufacturing process. Jeans, in particular, are major resource hogs, consuming nearly 4,800 gallons of water per pair. What are alternatives to recycling? The average American buys 53 pieces of clothing a year, according to the Public Interest Research Group. That's 4 times higher today than in the year 2000. Honestly, does anyone really need one entirely new item of clothing a day? Here's what to do instead. Buy fewer, more quality garments. Often it comes down to just buying less. When you need to make a purchase, buy better, more durable clothes. wear clothes for longer. If you buy quality clothes made from long-lasting materials, they don't wear out as quickly. Help clothes last longer by doing your laundry the right way. Repair your clothing. A broken zipper shouldn't send your clothes to the roadside bin or trash heap. Relearn lost techniques, like fixing a hem or sewing on a button. Swap, sell, or donate directly. Look for charities that request certain types of clothes, like business suits, coats, and prom dresses, to give your clothes the best chance of being used instead of stolen to recyclers. Online swap sites and marketplaces also allow you to donate or sell used clothes directly. Recycle. If you can't use, sell, or upcycle your clothing, feel free to donate it. Just know that your clothing might not end up where you think it will, but it is better than just tossing it into the trash. About the expert, Jennifer Zuckley is the founder and CEO of the Swoondle Society, an online member marketplace for trading children's clothing and accessories. The platform modernizes the hand-me-down tradition by allowing parents to trade in gently used or never worn children's clothing. Traveling for the winter? How should you best leave the thermostat set while you're gone? Our next article discusses the systems in your home and how to set them to both save money and protect your possessions. Reader's Digest. Going on vacation? This is the ideal temperature to set your thermostat to. By Kelly Aglon. Updated November 19th, 2025. The number you choose could save your pipes and your paycheck. You've locked the doors, fed the cat, and set your out-of-office reply. But before you pat yourself on the back for a vacation well-prepped, there's one more setting to check, your thermostat. Most of us assume that if no one's home, the temperature doesn't matter. But according to HVAC experts, it does matter. A lot. The truth is, your home still needs a little TLC while you're gone. It's not as simple as turning the heat down or the AC off and walking out the door. Set it too low and you could return to a house that feels like a walk-in freezer. Too high and you're basically paying to heat or cool empty space. Somewhere in between lies the sweet spot, a number that keeps your home comfortable and protected and saves you real money. I talked to Cassie Pound, co-owner of Quality Heating, Cooling, Plumbing and Electric in Tulsa, Oklahoma, about the right vacation temperature settings for your thermostat. It turns out that most of us are getting it wrong, so keep rating to get it right. What's the right temperature while you're home? Well, let's start with your baseline. Most energy experts recommend keeping your home at around 68 degrees when you're home and awake. It's warm enough for comfort, but energy efficient enough to keep your utility bill in check. Dropping it a few degrees while you sleep, or layering up with a sweater, can stretch those savings further. Winter tends to give us all an overheating impulse, and it's tempting to start fiddling too much with your thermostat to feel a bit more cozy. But you can avoid some of the most common thermostat mistakes by following a few simple rules, especially when you're headed out of town. The best temperature to set your thermostat at when you're going on vacation. If you're leaving for a few days or weeks, aim to keep your home between 60 and 65 degrees, Pound says. That's warm enough to prevent frozen pipes, but cool enough to save energy. Many people make the mistake of turning their heat way down, or off entirely, assuming it'll save money. But that can backfire fast. If your house drops into the 40s, it can take a long time for your heating system to catch up once you're home, Pound explains. And worse, you're risking frozen pipes. Why is this the ideal temperature for cool weather? It's all about balancing efficiency with keeping your most important and expensive asset safe from harm. Your home's ideal temperature may vary a little based on how well it's insulated or where you live, but that sweet spot of around 60 degrees matters. Here's why you should keep the temp stable. Save energy. For every degree you lower your thermostat over an extended period, you'll typically save about 1% of your heating bill, according to the Department of Energy. Keeping things around 60 degrees instead of your usual 68 can lead to noticeable savings without freezing your plumbing. Prevent frozen pipes. When temperatures dip too low, the water inside your pipes can freeze and expand, leading to cracks or bursts. By keeping the temperature at a moderate level, you don't have to worry about coming home to a major flood. For extra help in severe cold, open the cabinets, more about that below, and let faucets drip slightly when you're gone. Protect building materials. Uncontrolled indoor temperature swings can strain drywall, flooring, and window seals. It's not visible right away, but over time you could start to see gaps, flaking paint, warping, or other signs of deterioration. Maintaining a consistent, moderate indoor temperature protects your home against unnecessary wear and tear. What temperature should you set the thermostat to when you're heading out of town for the summer? When it's hot out, the instinct is often to shut off the AC completely, especially if you'll be gone for a while. But that can backfire just as easily as turning the heat too low in the winter. To protect your home and your energy bill during a summer vacation, aim to keep your home at about 78 to 80 degrees. Why is this the ideal temperature for warm weather? That's warm enough to conserve energy, but cool enough to prevent excessive humidity from creeping in. If you have central air, leave it running in auto mode, not off, advises Pound. This allows the system to cycle when temperatures climb too high and keeps air circulating. In Oklahoma, for example, you might see 80 degrees one day and 40 degrees the next, she says. Auto mode takes the guesswork out and keeps your house from overheating or getting muggy. Here are three important reasons to maintain your home's temp whenever you're away on a summer vacation. Prevent warped wood. Excessive moisture in the air causes wood floors, cabinets, and baseboards to warp. Even finished wood responds to the relative humidity in your home by expanding and contracting, and over time, the changing moisture content inside the wood causes it to undergo exterior physical changes too. Protect electronics. If you've ever tried to save your wet phone by putting it in a bowl of rice, you know that water and electronics don't mix. But even changes in humidity due to an overheated home can affect your sensitive gadgets. Inside every appliance, phone, and electronic device are metal connections, wires, and components that can rust due to excessive humidity. Prevent mold and mildew. Mold and mildew love warm, moist environments, and it takes only 48 hours for the spores to settle in and grow in ideal conditions, which, if you leave your home too warm in the summer, definitely counts. Mold and mildew don't just affect your bathroom grout either. Drywall, plywood, paint, appliances, and nearly everything in your home can be affected by mold. Should you ever turn your system off completely? You should do this only if you're fully winterized or summerized your home, meaning no running water, no risk of frozen pipes, and no pets, plants, or electronics inside. Otherwise, Pound says, resist the urge. People think that they'll save money, but shutting everything down completely can cause more damage than it's worth. If you don't have central air, say you rely on window units or portable systems, it's okay to turn them off, but close blinds and curtains to block direct sunlight. The key is to keep your home shaded and ventilated enough to avoid that stifling oven-like heat buildup. A few ceiling fans on low or a smart thermostat, if your unit has one, set to away mode, can help maintain balance while you're gone. What other home heating tips should you follow when leaving for vacation? Maintaining temperature is just one of the ways to protect your home when you go on vacation. Here are other smart and expert-approved vacation tips. open your cabinets. If you have fixtures or pipes along the exterior walls, keep those cabinet doors open while you're gone, says Pound. It helps warmer air to circulate. Replace your air filter. A dirty filter makes your system work harder and less efficiently. Check thermostat batteries. A dead thermostat will stop your system from kicking in when the temperature rises or drops. Close curtains and blinds. They add a layer of insulation and help stabilize indoor temps. Seal drafts around windows and doors. This prevents cold air from sneaking in while you're gone over the winter. Use a smart thermostat. Get one with a vacation or away mode. It can adjust automatically and even alert you if the temperatures drop unexpectedly. Consider a whole home humidifier. The humidity in your home should be kept between 40 and 55% to prevent wood warping and other issues. It's smart to have a way to control the moisture level if you'll be away for an extended period of time. The next time you're zipping up your suitcase, don't forget to give your thermostat a little attention. As Pound puts it, you can't control the weather while you're gone, but you can make sure your home doesn't feel it quite so much. Well, that's about all the time that we have for today. This has been Bob Decker, volunteer reader at Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks for listening. A reminder that if you miss a program, you can get it on demand. You can also take Sun Sounds with you on our stream, on demand, or on the Sun Sounds app on your smartphone or home device.